Joining me is an icon of Canadian country music, a multi-Juno Award winner and Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame inductee, Michelle Wright. As a multi-award winning country star, she has 25 top 10 radio hits, more than 40 major awards, and she's here today to talk about her successful music career, performing at this year's Saying Goodbye concert, and her latest projects. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, so I was listening to your song, Attitude is Everything, and that is so inspiring. What was the process, or what inspired you, I should say, to write the song into Attitude is Everything?
Well, to be totally clear on all of that, I didn't write the song, but it was co-written by a dear friend of mine by the name of Daryl Burgess. He's a fine young Canadian who's just a great singer, songwriter, drummer, and a dear friend. And so when I was putting together a little two-sided, sort of like the old school, you know, back in the day when they had 45s and you had an A and a B side, we sort of had some fun and put together like an A B side of a CD for the fans. And when Daryl played that song for me, I just fell in love with it. And I have to practice that sort of philosophy myself. You know, that attitude is everything. You know, the opening line is, it might be impossible to do. You got to believe that dreams come true. You know, you need a new attitude so you can fly across the sky. You know, I mean, of course, it's in a song, so it's a bit poetic and a bit sort of maybe over romanticized sometimes. But sometimes you just got to put your feet on the ground and start moving in the direction of the first thing in the morning, and the next thing you know, maybe your head will clear up a little bit and the sun will shine and you'll feel like getting something done if you're having a bad day, you know. Yes. So attitude is everything, there's no doubt about it.
Yes, and you know, it's because we're human, right? And I think, COVID, the pandemic, has been very hard, and and so having that attitude, and you know, as I said, it's inspiring. And then there's another song, Loving This Day. Can you share with the listeners about that song?
That song to me is so, I had that song for about 15 years. Wow. I just sort of had put it into my little pile of songs that I really love, you know. And quite honestly, it was a bit challenging to get my record label, I've had a couple major label deals, and try to persuade them to let me record that song, because it's not really a commercial song, as they say, you know. It's really just a groove ballad, and it's in depth and it's lyric and that sort of thing. So I was unable to get it recorded with my major label deal, but when I've been independent now for a few years, and when it was time to make this two-sided CD, I insisted, of course. I mean, I do have my current record label and my management team and everybody that I still had to persuade to not argue with me about that. So there was very little argument, and we got it recorded. And, you know, the song means so much to me. It's interesting how perhaps maybe 15 years ago I wasn't supposed to record it. Because when you listen to the lyric now, it even holds a deeper, I've lived a bit more life in these last 15 years, and there are many lines in that song now that even hit more at home for me. And one, I guess there's two particular instances, and one is that I had a manager for 28 years, and he had retired, and I sort of went about my way and he went about his way, and we didn't sort of have the day-to-day communication that we normally did when we worked together, though we were friends. But you know, he was sort of off being with his family and all the rest, and his wife had passed away, who was my business manager. She had passed away a couple of years before with ALS, And then he retired, and then he called me about 6 months after his retirement to say, I need your help. And so, because he had gotten Lewy body dementia, and we didn't know that at the time, but he just said, I need you. So I went to his house and saw that he needs my help. And there's a line in there that says, well, I'm on my way to help a friend just because he needs a ride, is a line. And that's, you know, and then there's another line about the rainbow in the sky, and I had to let one of my little doggies go, you know, and he was 15 years old, and I had to take him to the vets and say goodbye. And as I was driving home, there was a beautiful rainbow in the sky, you know. Oh. And so songs for me are always something that I really connect my own personal life with, and Loving This Day just has lines in it that are a little piece of my life. And on the other hand, as much as it touches on some of those sorrowful times in my life, it does cause me to just sit in today and just be thankful for today. Right now, everything's okay, you know, in my day today, because you don't know what tomorrow brings, and there's no need to worry about it anyhow, right?
Yes, and, you know, being present, and like a song has to hit you right, Michelle? Like, I understand your first album release was in 1987, Do Right By Me, is that correct?
Yes.
And
gosh, that album, so many great memories. My very first album, and that album, I made it in Canada, and that album got me my international record deal with Arista Nashville in 1989.
Wow. I mean, you've paved the way for many female artists. You know, you're a pioneer. And so how do you maintain your stamina as a successful performer, songwriter, and you're a dog mom, and, you know, you're so busy.
Yeah. Well, I will say that certainly Anne Murray, you know, smash the door down for us Canadians, around us female Canadians. And Katie Lang came along, and I just thought, well, she's doing it, so I can do it. And I really just, you know, was, I guess on one hand, I feel like I was so lucky and fortunate, because there's, you know, a lot of great talent out there, and why one person makes it through and someone else doesn't is a mystery to many of us. So I've been very, very fortunate. But I will say that I've also been very driven. And, you know, when you ask, how do I keep my stamina? I mean, I'm a pretty driven person. I was an athlete in school. And so, you know, I recognize and it sort of developed that state of mind of discipline and, physically working out and staying strong, and then sort of mentally staying strong as well. But I also had a great team of people and a wonderful band, you know, people that really cared about me, and I cared about them. And we were just a Canadian team out there just kind of taking on the world, you know, and we did in fact travel the world together. I've been on every continent in the world except for Antarctica, you know, and so, you know, with my own passion and desire and stamina and my own vision, and then being supported with a wonderful team of musicians and producers and record labels, you know, promotional team and my band and all these people that sort of lifted me up along the way. You know, that's how come I'm still here. This is my 40th year now on the road. Now, so, you know, so the first 10 years of my career, I played the club six nights a week and, you know, loaded up a cube van. Oh, first it was a van, and then we moved on to the cube van. And so in and out of these clubs six nights a week. And then we were able to get a tour bus and just go after it, you know?
Yes. And I understand, is it your anniversary, 22 years anniversary for the greatest hits? Is that right, Michelle?
Yeah, 22 years since the greatest hits came out. That's really hard to believe. And actually, in February is the 30th anniversary of the release of the single Take It Like a Man. And needless to say, Take It Like a Man changed my life. And so we've got some real big plans to celebrate that. But, you know, it's so odd sometimes when I start looking at the numbers and the years and the, you know, 22 years since the greatest hits and 30 years since Take It Like a Man and 40 years that I've been on the road. And I sit in absolute gratitude and joy and many memories come, you know, rolling over my heart, my mind, and about the adventure that I've been on in this life of mine. It's fascinating, and it continues. You know, I'm still very strong, and probably singing and writing better than I ever have, which makes sense. You know, it makes sense to me that the more you do this, you develop skills that, you know, that you might not. I certainly didn't have when I first started. But I feel wonderful, and I'm excited about the future as well when it comes to my music and my life.
Yes. Well, attitude is everything, right? You know, is.
Yeah, that's it.
But, you know, with the pandemic, you perform like virtual concerts, right? Was that a bit different, like a little bit, like, you know, you perform in front of an audience and connecting with the audience, but how do you like performing virtually?
No doubt. The first time I did it, I was kind of like, well, this is interesting. Because, of course, there you are with you and your guitar, and you're looking in the camera, and you play your song, and there's no response. Okay, and there you have that one, and now here comes another one. And, you know, it was definitely an odd feeling. And then I got used to doing them, and I enjoyed them because it gave me a chance to revisit songs that I hadn't played for a long time. And then I started doing a traditional country hour, so to speak, or half hour. I would try to keep it to a half hour. Mm. And so then I would just play all of these songs that I grew up listening to, or that my mother and father used to sing, and that, you know, in my club days I used to do. And so it became a real fun creative adventure for me, because when it's just you and your guitar, you know, it also requires that you've got your chops together, you know. Mm. And so I found it to be really a really good thing for me. It first off allowed me to stay connected to the fans, and, you know, it caused me to pick up my guitar and sing and play, because, you know, sometimes if you have no reason to do it, you're sort of, you're not like, I don't very often just pick up my guitar and sing and play, you know. It's just not sad, because it's just me, and I've heard myself enough times. I don't necessarily need to entertain myself that way, but it gave me a reason and the purpose to grab that guitar and sing for the fans. And so I found it to be really positive and really comforting.
Yes. And I mean, will you continue though? Like, I mean, do both, I should say.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because we've been talking about that. And do we continue to do it? And I don't know yet. I haven't, you know, I've got to watch myself here, because my mother passed away just a few months ago.
Yes.
And I loved her so much. You know, we did so much life together. She had me when she was 17 years old, you know, and on one hand, you know, we kind of grew up together in so many ways. And she was always my mother, no doubt about that, but she was also my best friend. And so I was thinking at one time that I might like to honor her, because when we were going through all of her things, I came across a bunch of her song books that she used on stage when she sang. And so there's all these songs that she used to do in her bands, because my mom and dad both played music as well. Mm-hmm. And so I've been debating about whether or not at some point when I could do it without crying, because honestly, I can't really, sorry.
Oh, yes.
I can't play her songs without getting emotional, you know. So at some point when I can do it without ending up doing this, right, I think I may do another concert just to honor her and play some of the songs that she used to sing in her bands, you know. So that's one thing we're thinking about, and we'll see. Maybe there'll be more.
Yes, and I'm sorry for your mom, you know, losing your mom, and this was recently, right, because of, you know, COVID, right?
Yes.
It's like,
it was June 18th, and I couldn't be there. I couldn't be there with her, but thank God for technology today, you know, because, you know, as weird as this may sound, you know, in the hospital, they put, you know, my brother was in Edmonton, was in Alberta, and I was here in Nashville, and my sister was with her up in Ontario, and they were able to put a camera on my mom, and we were able to view her and be able to be there with her while she took her last breaths. And thank God for that, because if she would have passed on without me even being able to see her, you know, I that would have been really, really hard. So we're we're thankful that the hospitals found a way for those of us during COVID to be with our loved ones, even though we couldn't, you know.
Yes, and I mean, like, and that's what, I mean, you know, you say your mom was your best friend, and she's, and it's a process, right? Like, we grieve differently, you know, and thank you for sharing, you know, and I, you know, accept my condolences. And, you know, it's for me to, you know, it's, and that what brings me to saying goodbye concert. Can you share with us, like, is there a song you're performing? Is it by Dolly Parton?
Yes, dear. Yeah. Well, a good friend of mine, Tara Shannon, mm-hmm. who was hosting the event, was aware that I had lost my mother and that I had just lost my manager, the gentleman I was talking about that had Lewy body dementia a couple of years before. And, you know, he was sort of like, again, like a second father to me almost. He was, you know, and so she reached out to me because she knows that I knew very firsthand, you know, firsthand about these kinds of losses, and certainly during COVID, you know, mm-hmm. and asked me if I would be a part of this saying goodbye concert that is, you know, to honor the National Bereavement Day across the country. And and so I'm glad that she asked me, because I won't, you know, I want for the people that are listening to this and that are dealing with their own grief that perhaps they'll tune in and they'll maybe, you know, won't feel so alone, knowing that those of us that are on the show know firsthand how hard it is to lose someone. And there's just, gosh, you know, the finality of all of that. And, you know, now, of course, I have a belief that we'll be together again. And so there's comfort for me in that. I really do believe that. But in the meantime, just, I guess, trying to find a way that we can be together as people grieve. And and you know, I'm actually singing a song called "When I Get Where I'm Going," which Dolly Parton and Brad Paisley had a big number one hit with. And because it's sort of, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I'll shed the sins and struggles I've carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open, and I will love and have no fear. Because when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. And that was a song my mom loved, and it's what she believed. And so I did that song, and it was comforting for me to sing that. And so this is a very special, you know, a virtual show that we've all done, with Johnny Reed's there and doing it, and Carol and Don Johnson and John McDermott, and a real variety of artists. And hopefully, if you tune in, it will comfort you somehow.
Yes. And, you know, and it's November 14th, this Sunday, and people can, you know, get tickets. Are free. It's a free event, right? Saying goodbye concert.ca. And also, too, you love cooking,
you know,
too.
If you want, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but just because I've been doing a few interviews, of course, to bring this show to people's attention. And if I may say that, because I forgot to say this on my last interview, because it can be confusing for all of us. If you go to my Facebook page or my website, just Michelle Wright, you put Michelle Wright in Google search and you'll find me somewhere. All the information is there. So that'll lead you directly to the links and all the rest.
Wonderful, Michelle. And I was just going to say about cooking, because you love cooking too, right? I understand.
Yes, dear. Well, of course, and my husband and I are dealing with the COVID-20, which is the COVID-20 extra pounds that we put on while we were, you know, in my husband's business, he travels as well. And now, of course, I travel. Now, we do get a lot of time together, but when it's time to go to work, we go to work, and then we come together. But COVID, for the first time in our lives in many, many, many years, you know, we weren't in the hustle and the bustle and loading this up and heading out there and getting to an airplane and doing this and doing that. So we really enjoyed, allow me to say this first, because, I mean, we really enjoyed the just the fact that we slowed down and I cooked and we ate and enjoyed beverages and swimming in the pool and relaxing and doing things around the house that needed to be done and all the rest. And so needless to say, yet at the same time, we certainly did feel the heartbreak of our world, you know. Mm-hmm. It was pretty heavy, wasn't it? I mean, on one hand, we were feeling so lucky that we didn't have to go out there and go like 90. And then on the other hand, people were losing their jobs. And so really a mixed conversations we were having and mixed emotions that we were experiencing, because most of my musicians were out of work, all mm-hmm. of them, you know, and crew people and all that kind of stuff. So on one hand, we were really enjoying ourselves. And on the other hand, of course, we were concerned about what's going to happen and families that lost loved ones and so on. But I definitely dug in a little deeper with my cooking skills and made us a lot of delicious things to eat.
Yes, because, you know, I also understand you were a track and field athlete. So,
yes.
Oh, wow. So, you're always working out.
Yeah, but not working out as much as I used to. That's probably part of the problem. It's sort of like yes, I we're getting back at it again. we're getting back on the discipline train again, because we definitely, like I said, for the first time in our lives, we kind of went, who cares? We don't have to go anywhere. Let's just eat and enjoy, watch a movie.
Yes, you know, and enjoy life. And Michelle, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so, dear. I don't think so. Just looking forward to getting back out on the road again. And I'm in the studio. I'm writing and I'm in the studio creating new music. And I look forward to sharing that with everybody. And certainly pray for the world that we can continue to recover from the effects of COVID. And all be back together again out there doing our things.
Yes, and I want to thank you so much for your time today and speaking with me. And I'd love to interview you again in more of an in-depth interview.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Well, perhaps when we get the new music out there, we can, I guess if you wouldn't mind to maybe reach back out to Chuck and let him know that when the new music is released, that we can spend some more time together.
Yes, and thank you again, Michelle. And
thank you.
And to go to your website, it is michellewright.com. Is that correct? Or
The website is michelle-wright.com.
Right, okay.
michelle-wright.com.
Thank you.
Yeah.